إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، the Vice Chancellor Al Istiqama University, the Chairman of the occasion, the Chairman of MSSA Zone, and the Amir of the Kano State Area Unit, and officials of both the A Zone and the Area Unit, and management staff of this Citadel of Knowledge, Al Istiqama University, and other guests on the high table, and my distinguished brothers and sisters that are attending this weekly Ramadan lecture. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let me start by congratulating the Vice Chancellor, staff, and students of Al Istiqama University for institutionalizing these Ramadan lectures, these Ramadan activities. And let me also congratulate them on a second plane for the inauguration of the Muslim Student Society branch in this university. We have indeed heard from the Vice Chancellor himself and from the chairman of the occasion, Engineer Noor Hassan Hanga, on the significance of this organization. And I will not go into the topic of my lecture without making two observations regarding this organization, the Muslim Student Society. The first is that, and this is what I have always held, it is an opportunity, the MSS prepares and provides a platform for a Muslim to make use of the most critical state of his life, which is the state of his youth, to make use of it in a very valuable manner. And this is very critical. One of the things that will all be asked in front of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is regarding our youth. Regarding our youth. How did we spend these years, the late teenage years and the years of 20s and the early 30s? How did we spend those times? وَأَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى. He will be asked regarding his youth. How did he spend it? The MSF has been a great contributor to us all, we that are in the later stages of our life. It has been very instrumental in shaping our youth. And this critical stage, it provides for an individual the opportunity of being in the shade of Allah on the day when there is no shade except the shade of the throne of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. 7 categories of people, they will be covered in the shade of Allah when there is no shade but His shade. And he mentions among them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. A young man that grows up in the service of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I believe this is one critical role that the MSF has played over these decades. And between me and Allah, I always reflect over this. Because as early as when we were 16 years of age, we used to receive delegations from Bayero University and from Ahmadu Bello University to our school. At that time, it was a purely secular school, Federal Government College, Kano. And we used to receive lectures that prepared us that when we entered into the university, we were just after finding out where is the MSS. So that has actually shaped, contributed a lot in our life. Secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever lives on a pattern of life, he will die on it. And whoever dies on a thing, he will be raised up on that thing in the day of judgment. So when you find someone who lives his youth in the service of Allah, then you will find an elder that is like that, because you will die by it, because Allah is the most truthful, is the most fulfilling of his promise, that if you stay by Allah, if you live your youthful life in devotion to Allah, Allah will maintain that pattern of behavior, that pattern of life for you till your old age. And if you stay by that, you live by that, you will die on that. And if you die on that, you will be raised up on that. So this is something that we should not see, we should not belittle. It is highly significant. It is an opportunity that Allah has provided for us, and we should make the best use of it. The topic of the lecture that I am to speak on is Ramadan as a spiritual signpost. How to making the best use of the glorious month on campus. Alhamdulillah, the inauguration of the MSS coincides with the month of Ramadan, a spiritual signpost, as mentioned in the title of the lecture, a spiritual indicator. This is a very significant time for us, because as you all know, in Islam, we only have two festive periods. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna li kulli qawmin eida." Every community has its own Eid, its own festive period. The festive period of the Muslim community, the community of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is tied to months of spirituality, and the first month is the month of Ramadan, which brings about with it at its end the celebration of having fasted the month of Ramadan and having observed the Laylatul Qadr and having observed the Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan. So we celebrate that, we celebrate it with a festive day, with a festive period, with a festive mood on the day of Eid al-Fitr. The second festive period is the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the days during which there are no better days for anybody to engage in acts of drawing near to Allah more than those days. And there is no act of worship that is multiplied and made more excellent than on those 10 days. And after the completion of the 10 days, we observe the Eid al-Adha, the Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Kabir. So our festivities are tied to acts of spirituality. The month of Ramadan in particular, is an excellent month. A month that is the only month that is mentioned by name in the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the excellence of this month and what it signifies of spirituality, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give glad tidings, used to give bishara to his companions on the arrival of the month of Ramadan. He used to say, Atakum shahru Ramadan, shahrun mubarak, shahrun faradallahu alaykum siyama, tuftahu fihi abwabul jinan, wa tughlaqu fihi abwabul niran, wa tusaffadu fihi shayateen, fihi laylatun khayrun min alf shahr, man hurima khayruha fahuwa al-mahroom. He used to say, the month of Ramadan has arrived, has come to you. A blessed month, a month during which Allah has prescribed the obligatory fasting for you. The doors of paradise are open. The gates of hell are closed. The obstinate shayateen, the obstinate devils, are locked up. In it, in the month, is a night that is equivalent to 1,000 months. Whoever is denied the goodness, the excellence of that month, of that night, he is indeed someone who has become wretched and denied. So this is a kind of preparation for the ummah to enter into this period with a different mood, with a different mindset. The days, the hours are no different from the other days and hours. In fact, you know, Ramadan is not like Christmas. You know, whenever they show the symbol of Christmas, you will see snow because it always comes in winter. Have you not noticed that? When they want to show you pictures of Christmas, the Father Christmas, they will show him surrounded by snow, because snow falls in winter. Christmas always falls in winter, in December. But Ramadan is not like that. Some years back, Ramadan used to be at the peak of the rainy season. You will spend nights in rainfall, and people will be praying Taraweeh in heavy rain. And now we are experiencing Ramadan in the peak of spring, in the hot season, just before the rain starts falling. Very soon, we are going to start experiencing Ramadan in winter. So there is nothing that will distinguish the days from the other normal days. The only thing that will distinguish it is that knowledge. It's the knowledge, the realization that this period, this April, is not like any other April, if it falls in April. So while people are busy with April Fool, what are you busy with? You are busy preparing for Ramadan. What makes you realize it is the knowledge. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do to the community. And this is what we should do in following his footsteps, in making us realize that this is a period that is different. This is a new normal. As they started talking about, you know the experience, the expression of new normal. During the COVID, they started saying we have a new normal. That is, life is no longer going to be the same. So definitely life is no longer going to be the same for a true Muslim in the month of Ramadan. So it is indeed a significant spiritual signpost. The meaning of opening the doors of paradise, the gates of paradise, is that acts of ibadah are made easy. And the meaning of closing the gates of hellfire means that acts of disobedience to Allah are made very hard. And this is why in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever fasts on a day for the sake of Allah, then Allah will distance his face from the hellfire with a distance of 70 years of journey. He will be so far, far away from the hellfire. What this means is that things that will draw him near to entering hellfire, he will be distanced from those things by that length of time or distance of space. And the meaning of locking up the obstinate devil is that what happens of temptation from the devil, the obstinate ones, a person is saved from that in the month of Ramadan. So when you engage in acts of disobedience, of rebellion against Allah, you are acting as your own shaitan, as your own devil. And in mentioning the excellence, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made reference to Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, which is better than 1,000 nights. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown the period, the length of time that previous generations, followers of other messengers, have lived in the world. So he saw that the lifespan of the members of his community is short in comparison to the lifespan of the others. Some of them will live hundreds of years, and they will mention that someone, he put the saddle on his horse, and he was fighting and struggling in the for the sake of Allah for over 100 years. So the companions, they said, how can we compare with this community? So Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr, better than 1,000 months. He said, whoever is denied the goodness, the blessings of that night, he has indeed been denied. Among the excellence and the significance of this time is that in every single day in the month of Ramadan, a Muslim is granted an acceptable prayer from Allah, a dua, which if you do, Allah will definitely accept it. As you say, show banker. Oh, you don't know show banker here. It was maybe our generation that used to say show banker. It's the pidgin English. I mean, it's guaranteed. You have a guaranteed ijabah, a guaranteed answer from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala every single day, in the day and night, in the month of Ramadan. Now you see, this is a very significant thing. To find out that you have a ready answer with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in every single day for 30 days and 30 nights. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of this in order to make the best of this time in our lives. And one strong motivating factor for us to make the best of this time in our life is that we never know. It may be the last Ramadan that we are living. It may be the last Ramadan that we are living. I mean, just yesterday, and an imam in Kano, he did tafsir day before yesterday. He led Taraweeh prayer day before yesterday. He prayed Fajr as the imam yesterday in the morning. And by the time of Jum'ah, they were praying over his dead body. He was well and hearty. Nothing. So you never know, it may be the last Ramadan that you are observing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, May Allah put the nostrils, put his nostrils in the sand. They said, who is that, Ya Rasulullah? That is, may Allah belittle him and debase him. They said, who is that, Ya Rasulullah? He says, the one who was lucky to have been alive in Ramadan and he did not do something that will make Allah forgive him. Which means he has the best opportunity of forgiveness, but he did not do something that will make Allah forgive him. So such a person, may he be debased. And the Jibreel said this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. He answered that prayer. So how do we make the best use of this month, especially in campus? You know, our campuses, they are supposed to be citadels of knowledge. But years have passed when campuses, we are not like that. And campuses, they used to be places where people used to become wayward, used to go off the path of modesty and uprightness in religion and become enlisted into dangerous groups and secret societies and reoriented or misoriented into devious and devilish acts. I remember when we were in campus in the late 1970s, there used to be some groups, some societies, Lions Club, Alpha Club, all sorts of names. At that time in ABU's area, there used to be the summer term. The summer term was dedicated for students of the School of Basic Studies that used to do IJMB in 1 year instead of the normal 2 years, which they do in the colleges of arts and sciences. So during the summer term, members of these organizations, they used to stay behind on campus. And their main task was to identify modest and shy girls that are Muslims. At that time, hijab was not common. There was no hijab, actually. It was just a tampa and the head cover. Mostly, even the head cover is just to cover the chest. They will start by inviting them. And usually, you know, they used to choose these young boys who have got very good public relations. They make people laugh. Wherever they are the attention of everybody. Everybody would like to be in their company. So they will start approaching these young girls, take them to the film theaters, to watch films. Then, after that, they will start inviting them to Saturday night parties. Then they will graduate into room parties. So you find that before the end of the summer term, their appearance has completely changed. They start palming their hair, moving about without any hair covering, putting on tight jeans, and they have become something else entirely. That was what used to be campus. And this was what made the MSS used to stay behind during the summer term for orientation in order to protect people that are coming anew in campus. So when you are on campus and you meet Ramadan in campus, how do you make the best use of it? Ramadan on campus is no different from Ramadan outside the campus with regard to the acts of worship that have been prescribed. Allah has prescribed, Allah and the Messenger have institutionalized for us acts of ibadah that are supposed to make us make the best use of Ramadan. The first is the fasting. The second is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has institutionalized of the Taraweeh, the night prayer. Then the third is the recitation of the Quran. And the fourth is sharing what you have, spending, generosity. Generosity in the month of Ramadan, there is nothing like it. And in terms of generosity, you share the little of what you have. Because doing that is what brings spiritual cleanliness. It cleanses your spirit. When you share the little that you have with your brothers, with your fellow brothers and sisters. The one who shares the little he has, when he has much, he will give. But the one who cannot share the little that he has, when he has more than his fill, he will be covetous. He will hold. He will withhold. He will not give. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to share. And he said, a woman should not be little when she is making a soup, to put a lot of water in the soup so that she can share and give it to her neighbors. And he said, do not belittle an act of charity. Even if it is to give somebody half of a dead fruit. You have a dead fruit, you want to break your fast, break it into two. Give someone who doesn't have. Share the little that you have. This is part of the things that have been institutionalized in Ramadan. And part of it is iftar sa'im, that is providing what the breaking of the fast for the one who fasts, that you get the same reward as the one who fasted when you provide for him. And among the acts that have been institutionalized is the practice of saying inni sa'im, I am fasting, that is self-control. Control your emotions. Control your emotions. You know, we have been put during the time of fasting in a state of getting easily provoked. The one who is hungry, thirsty, and suffering from the intense heat of the Sahel, like we are experiencing now. A slight instigation, a slight provocation, you'll be provoked. It is a wisdom of Allah to put us in that stage. Maybe if you are not hungry, someone will look at you, will stare at you, and you will just ignore him. Because you are happy, your stomach is full. But you are hungry, you are thirsty, and then someone will stare at you and you will say, what are you staring at? What do you mean by that stare? And you start picking up a fight. So for us to control our emotions in the month of Ramadan is an institution in itself of giving us self-control. All these things that they are speaking about, emotional intelligence and how valuable it is and how even more imperative it is than the so-called intelligence quotient, the IQ, of doing mental and literal sums and so on. You can see the element of this kind of training to acquire this level of intelligence in the best of ways in the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it is on the day of your fasting, you should not raise up your voice in quarrels. You should not engage in acts of disobedience, al-fisq. And if anybody provokes you or abuses you or insults you, you should say, inni sa'im, I am fasting. Now this practice of saying inni sa'im is very, very important for the one who is fasting. It is an institution, mind you. All these things that we are mentioning, these are institutions. I mean by institutions, they are established practices that are supposed to shape our life during the month of Ramadan. Imagine a dormitory that is free of quarrels and squabbles because it is the month of Ramadan. Imagine a dormitory that is free of backbiting and bringing a woman who has become amiable. You know amiable? Do you know amiable? Eh? Who knows amiable? Raise of your hand, please. Anybody who knows amiable, raise of your hand. Nobody. Okay. You know amiable? Huh? Who is amiable? Huh? What? Eh? Magul Machi. But from where do you know this character? Amiable, where do you know this character? Village headmaster. Who said village headmaster? You don't know village headmaster. It was in the 70s and 80s. It was a play in the 70s and 80s. Amiable is the one who creates, and Namima, the one who creates fights between people. You know, especially among women, you have this type of people. And normally, she will carry story from one room to another room. Then the subject of the story, they will meet together. They say, where did you hear this? They say, I heard from so, so and so. Ah, I'm a boy. Then they will face her. And then what will happen to her? Everybody will know that she is the one who creates trouble between people. So imagine a hostel without this kind of practices. Human beings living with the most upright of character and turning away from the lowliness of animalistic character and devilish character. Animalistic, they are the ones that are just after their gratifying their base desires. And devilish, they are those characters that are only interested, that are directed towards creating evil among people, destruction. They don't want to see good in anybody. Whenever somebody is praised, whenever they talk good about people, how beloved they are to one another, they feel terrible. Why should they be like that? Whenever somebody is praised and they are talking good of him, their aim is to tarnish his image, is to destroy him. That is the devilish character. Now the institution of Ramadan, it cleanses us, it delivers us from this kind of tendencies. And most importantly, the institution of Ramadan, it is the institution that makes us be free from evil customs, from bad customs. There are many people who, by the blessing of Ramadan, they stopped the practice of cigarette smoking, talk less of taking dangerous drugs or alcoholic beverages, by the barakah of Ramadan. Because the barakah of Ramadan shows to you that if what is completely permissible and useful to you, you abstain yourself from taking it out of obedience to Allah, then you can surely leave what you only conditioned yourself to accept and to make it part of your life. Because if you can leave what is an integral part of your life, which you love, which you feel is essential for you. The normal eating and drinking, you leave it for a period of 12 hours, 13 hours, 14 hours, or more or less. Then for you to leave, cigarettes, or for you to leave dangerous drugs, is something which you can do, because that is what Ramadan shows you, that you can do it. It gives you that self-confidence. You can do it. You can extinguish the last cigarette. You can throw away the last codeine bottle. You can leave the last place where you can stop going to the hideout, which you normally go for you to do, to engage in what will only destroy you. And part of the evil custom that Ramadan teaches us to turn away from is what we have conditioned ourselves into doing. You see, just a few days ago, about 2 or 3 days ago, some people came to me and they are telling me that the Champions League was being shown during the time of Taraweeh. Is that true? They did it, huh? They were showing the Champions League during the time of Taraweeh. Now, an intelligent person, he will ask questions. Why this time? Why this time? I mean, this is a time when I am supposed to be engaged in something which, if I do, Allah will forgive me my past sins. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does the Qiyam Ramadan with true belief and seeking the reward of Allah, Allah will forgive him his past, his previous sins. So now they are putting this in order to try me, which is better for me. The excitement and exhilaration of seeing my team winning, or the feeling that I have been forgiven. You know, the feeling of you achieving Allah's forgiveness, if indeed we have true belief, there is nothing like it. Because guilt itself, the feeling of guilt, is a serious impediment to somebody's life. When you feel you are guilty, when you feel you are worthless, you have been rebellious to Allah, the very confidence that a person, a normal human being, is expected to have, you don't have it. But when you have that good hope that you've been forgiven by Allah, it gives you confidence. This is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Whoever commits an act of evil, or he is wrong to himself, and then he seeks the forgiveness of Allah, he will feel يَجِدِ اللَّهَ, he will find Allah, that is, in the depth of his heart, he will find Allah to be most forgiving, most merciful. That feeling that Allah indeed is forgiving and merciful, on account of doing what he promises to forgive you, there is nothing like it. But they make you to replace what is better with what is most lowly. أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Are you exchanging what is lowly with what is better? You go and say and watch the Champions League and shout and shout, and maybe when you are shouting, they will steal your phone. Well, that's where you lose your phone. In the viewing centers, that they will steal your phone. You are busy shouting, and then you meet that night in prayer. And once you meet that night in prayer, you never replace it. Because the following night, it will be a different night. That night has already gone. And that night, when you pray behind an imam, till you go out of prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will be written for you that you have spent the whole night praying. Now, where are you going to find that? You'll never find that on a La Liga has taken you. So the training that Ramadan gives us the ability and the internal strength to free ourselves from evil customs and to wean ourselves, just like you wean a child from the breast of his mother, from taking breast milk. You know, it's difficult. It's difficult. Nursing mothers, they know it. For you to wean a child of the breast milk. So it's the same with customs. It's the same with attitudes. Bad attitudes, bad customs. Ramadan is the opportunity for us to wean ourselves away from them. And if we are able to do that, especially the fact that we are in custom, on campus. The campus is a secluded community. It is secluded in that if there is, if we imbibe, it is easier for us to instill in ourselves goodness and to imbibe goodness from observing the practices of others and from training ourselves and from in training ourselves in making the best use of our time, because we are secluded. It's not like the general society. You are not involved in so many things. You are not going to be asked to go to the market. You are not going to be asked to go and do this and do that and do that. You are secluded. So let us remember this hadith which I mentioned, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the one who witnesses Ramadan and he did not do something that will make Allah forgive him, then may his nose be covered by the dust. That is, may he be disgraced, may he be debased. Let us not be disgraced on the day of judgment. Let us not be debased. Let us make the best use of this time. And it is the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that when you do a little, he will strengthen you, because it is out of his generosity. He said, when you draw near to me by the palm of your hand, which is from this finger to this finger, I will draw near to you by an arm's length. When you draw near to me by an arm's length, I will draw near to you by the span, that is, by the open arm. When you come to me walking, I will come to you jogging, running. This is Allah saying it. Allah does not run, but he is, it's a parable of the love of Allah and the generosity of Allah, that when you take the few steps, he will cover the rest for you. And let us remember that this is an ibadah that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asks us to seek Allah's help through it. He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. O you who believe, seek the help of Allah through patience and prayer. Patience is fasting. Patience is fasting, because it is an ibadah that is rooted in patience, perseverance. You persevere in hunger not to eat, not to break your fast. So the devotion, the ibadah of fasting is an ibadah of patience. Allah asks us to seek help through patience and prayer. And definitely we need the help of Allah. We need to graduate with first class. Or who wants to graduate with pass? Who wants to graduate with pass? Please raise your hand. You want to graduate with pass? Eh? You want to? So they will check your name. Or maybe he thinks he's misplacing pass with something else. But who wants to graduate with first class? And the rest, wallahu a'lam. So we need the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We need the help of Allah in everything, in our situation, in the situation we are in the country. We are affected by the situation we are in the country. So we need the help of Allah. And Allah has asked us to seek His help through patience and prayer. And this is the month of patience and prayer. The patience during the day, the prayer during the night. So let us make use of that time. It may be by our seeking the help of Allah. It may be the dua of one of us here that Allah will accept, and He will change the state of insecurity in our land to a state of peace and security. And we are facing an election. The next Ramadan will come after the election. So this is the only Ramadan that we are witnessing before a general election. And we know the situation the country goes into during election times. So we need to seek the help of Allah. We need the help of Allah. So let us make use of this particular Ramadan in seeking the help of Allah for us as individuals, for us as community, for us as nations. Thank you very much. And I once again finish by congratulating the management and students and staff and students of the university for institutionalizing this practice. جزاكم الله خيرا أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك